The Movie Files, a podcast featuring behind-the-scenes tales of motion picture history. Sponsored by Aplomb Publishing. Visit us on the web at www.aplombpublishing.com.
Welcome back to Movie Files. I am John William Law, your host. It's the holiday time, so we're going to try and do something holiday featured or specific. I've done these every year for many years now. I try and pick up something from kind of Christmas related to talk about, and usually I try and do something that's a little less Christmas focused. At least I try and find films that have unique kind of, you know, the film isn't necessarily a Christmas story, but it takes place at Christmas. And you can certainly go back into the archives and listen to a few of those. I've done things like Death Set, which is a film I watch every year at Christmas time, and 3 Days of the Condor, and gosh, there's a whole bunch of, I think, what was the one with Frank Sinatra? But there's a whole bunch of them that sort of have these Christmas elements. This time, though, we're going to sort of take it slightly different. It's a film that probably a lot of people have not seen. But it's certainly a film that is Christmas-related and worth discussing or touching on. It is called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, and it is from 1964. It's an interesting interesting story, partly because it is not a great film. It is certainly one of those films that's considered considered one of the worst films. In fact, if you look at some lists that people rarely talk about, you know, kind of the worst movies ever made, it is certainly one of those films. It is pretty cheesy, pretty bad. It is an interesting film, partly because there aren't a lot of that. One of the reasons why the producer of the film, whose name is Paul Jacobson, wanted to do the film because he felt that there weren't that many kind of Christmas movies for kids. There were some Christmas movies, but there weren't enough of them, and so he felt that they needed to do more. He wanted to really do something in the 1960s. So he actually had experience working on NBC's TV show Howdy Doody, and decided that he was going to go into the movie business and make his own film. It's the only film that he ever made. He basically rented a airplane hangar in Long Island, I think it was, and manufactured this movie. He wrote the initial screenplay, and then he hired someone else to polish it into an actual screenplay and script that could actually be made. Then he went and he found a director by the name of Nicholas Webster to direct the film. The premise of the story or the movie is that the children of Mars are literally sit around like zombies because they have nothing to do. They're bored, and their main level of entertainment is watching footage of Santa Claus that they have intercepted and pulled in from the planet Earth. So there's a council brought together, and there's some wise guy who suggests that the way to help the children would be to kidnap Santa Claus and bring him to Mars. And therein lies the story. And so the story then unravels with Santa Claus and Mars, and then they have to, you know, partake in a mission to go rescue Santa Claus and save him and bring him back to Earth, and that's sort of the whole premise of the story. Because it was made on a low budget of only about $200,000, they couldn't afford major stars for the film, so they cast lesser-known actors. And the main actor, the guy who plays Santa Claus, is played by a man by the name of John Call. And Call was best known for appearing in a theatrical production of Oliver, where he played a small supporting character named Dr. Grimwig. So he wasn't really well known at all, and had very little acting experience, I think. And so there was another one of the child actors also came from Oliver as well, and most of the other children were really basically these relatively unknowns. Interestingly enough, Pia Zadora, who was a sort of actress in the 1980s, kind of came to some fame in the 1980s, does play one of the children in the film, but at the time no one knew who she was. The film was completed, and it did get some decent releasing. So when it was released in like November of 1964, it got Joseph E. Levine, who had Embassy Pictures at the time and had a pretty good distribution leg, actually did acquire distribution rights for the film and distributed it around the world. So it was premiered in Chicago, I think, in 1964, and then it would mainly ran in theaters around the U.S. and in a number of locations, mostly in like matinees. So it was basically targeting children. And it did okay. I mean, it managed to get enough kids to come out to watch the film in 1964 to actually make back its money. Although, again, critically, fans were not excited by the film. They did do a lot of gimmicks. They gave away, you know, little Martian gadgets and things like that to kind of keep the film kids entertained. And then the film would go on to kind of continue to be re-aired and recirculated. So it would kind of revisited in theaters and stuff occasionally in Hollywood at holiday time. It was then picked up years later by Comedy Central, I think, in the 1990s, and they would start airing it simply because it was kind of almost so bad it was funny. Type of film, and so it would continue to get aired. So it was sort of has kind of become this kind of cult classic today. If you can catch a look at it, it is pretty cheesy, but certainly it does give you the kind of element of Christmas if you're looking for kind of seeing Santa Claus in a kind of, you know, Martian space setting. Then you sort of have, you know, it is sort of made for you. It is pretty bad, though, in terms of acting and performances. And again, because the budget was so low, you can really imagine that the special effects, the scenes that they try and do that are sort of science, you know, space-driven are really pretty kind of, you know, not the best. But considering they were making it on a $200,000 budget, you kind of give them a little bit of credit and say, well, they actually did, you know, more than, you know, they might have been expected to do. So if you are looking for an unusual Christmas film to watch this holiday season, and you're not looking for the traditional White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life type story, you can certainly pick up or look for a copy of this film and get certainly a unique holiday experience out of it. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. That's a little bit look at an unusual holiday classic. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we will catch you in the new year.